Well, it happened. I had some little setbacks in the business here in the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to chat about that today because really it comes down to a fundamental decision we have to make when life throws us a curveball. Do we curl up or do we bulk up? I'll see you there. Want to know what it really takes to build a thriving, profitable business from the ground up? Hey, I'm your host, Cody Burch, and this is the Cody Builds a Business podcast, your unfiltered front row seat to watching me build a seven-figure online business from scratch or die trying. Let's get started. Hey, what's up? Cody Burch here. Welcome to the show today. Hope you had a great weekend. And I've had a couple of rough weeks back to back. It all started about 3 weeks ago. I did a paid challenge. So I've done two free five-day challenges in 2019. They went really well. I was trying to sell my live events both times, which I think in hindsight, I wish I wasn't selling live events. I wish I was selling something else, like a course or something that would have made a lot more sense. But I was trying to get people to my live events and they went great. Both times had about 300 people go through the free five-day challenge. And the point was my five-day challenge was around helping people make a lead generator. And then when they were done with that, the next logical thing they would need would be a funnel. You need an opt-in page, a thank you page, an email sequence, some Facebook ads. And so you should come to my event. We'll talk about that stuff. I think in October of last year, it was around my membership, the fam. And I thought, once you get that done, then I'll support you in the fam, which comes with an event ticket. But I've seen so many people try these paid challenges. And so here's what I did. I'll be fully transparent with you. I got a little greedy, I think. A lot of people doing $5, five-day challenges, $10 challenges, things like that. I thought, well, I'm going to go $50 because it's good content, some of my best content. I'll go live in a Facebook group every day. So every morning, people would get an email with a video to watch that day. And then we'll do a Facebook Live later in the day to talk about questions or concerns that people have. And after that, I was going to invite them to join the fam. Nope, that's not even true. Sorry. I was going to invite them to my virtual event, which happened on September 22nd, just a few weeks ago. And I put the emails out, put the ads out for the five-day challenge. It was $47 and it included 5 days of video stuff and then live training and an event ticket. So the value was there for sure, but nobody was ready for it. I don't know what happened. Honestly, I'm still kind of thinking about it. I think 9 or 10 people paid the $50 and I let people that were in the membership in for free. So, hey, you don't have to pay, just show up and be present and be helpful and ask questions and answer questions and all that stuff. Well, it wasn't a very good take rate in that either. I think I had maybe 22 people that were eligible for the challenge. So to go from 300 in a free challenge where they were buying recordings and stuff like that to get 22 people, 9 of which paid $50 and the other 11 didn't pay anything because they were in the membership. It was really bad. It was really bad. My momentum died, right? Or actually never really got alive. It was kind of dead on arrival. And so my desire and motivation to do live trainings and live Q&As and all the interaction and all that stuff taking place in the group was totally gone because there were not that many people in the group. But they still got the video. The promise was still delivered. I still gave them lifetime access to the recordings and gave them an event ticket. And I thought, okay, this isn't going great. Let's prepare for the event. Let's start emailing about the event. I'll email my list. We'll make some invitations to the event and we'll double down on that so we can grow the event. And the same thing kind of happened with the event. The event happened again on a Tuesday and we had about 70 people registered for the event. And that was more than last time. I think we had around 60 people registered. So I thought that's great. We grew it by 10 people that are eligible to come to this event. Last time we had about 45 people, give or take a few, show up for the virtual event in June. And it was similar content, but it was more dialed in. It was more focused. It was easier to talk about, easier to sell. And I called the event in June FamCon 2020, which stood for Funnels and Ads Mastery Conference. But I really just talked about mini courses, this really important strategy that I've used to make a ton of money for my clients and a ton of money for myself. I thought, well, let's get even more dialed in and we'll call this the mini course intensive. It's a one-day virtual event dedicated to learning how to use a mini course in your business to get more leads and get more sales, all while growing your authority and building trust with your audience. And at about 70 people, and as I do at events, or webinars or whatever, I always kind of sheepishly check, like, is anybody here? Did anybody show up? We had 70 people who could have come, but is anybody here? And so halfway through the morning session, I asked my wife, who's my event producer, who's in the room, said, hey, who else, how many people we got here? You know, I was thinking hopefully 50, 55, that'd have been a new record for me in a live event. And she just kind of shook her head and said, there's only about 22 people here. You know, it's varying between 20 and 25 people for most of the day. and the show must go on. So I continued without, you know, throughout the whole day. And as you may recall, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, at my events, I make an invitation to work with me on a deeper level. So the flow, if you're thinking of doing an event, which you totally should, it's a lot of fun. But the flow was, if you like mini courses, we're going to do this together over the next 8 weeks. And here's how that works. And the price tag was about $3,000 for this 8 week. It was a 12 week group coaching program where you get one-on-one stuff with me. You get the funnel templates, you get unlimited email support, you get all these videos and trainings and weekly group calls, all this stuff for 3 months. So the value, again, the value was there. I felt great, very aligned with the value of a $3,000 offer over 12 weeks. But with 22 people there, and I doubled the price from my invitation that I made in June, there were no takers right away. I said, hey, I know it's a higher price point. You have a couple days to think about this and see if it's for you or not. And they had until Thursday night to decide if they were in or not. I sent the emails every day. Here's what else you get. Here's what else you get. Here's why this is really great. And nobody bought it. And so after that, back-to-back weeks, right, of the five-day challenge not going great, and then the virtual event not going great, the content itself was super useful. I have all this video and B-roll and training and super tight frameworks and teaching. I can make it an online course if I wanted to. I can make it a mini workshop. I can do all the stuff with it. And I can even host it again if I would like, because the content is really great. But I obviously made a couple of mistakes. And my after-action analysis was that so many people were eligible for a free ticket because they were either in my membership or they were in the five-day challenge. And so I just gave them a ticket, right? Saying, hey, if you do this, I'll give you a ticket. And the third reason people had tickets was if they bought SamCart from me, which is a software I was promoting back in September. I said, if you buy from my link, you also get an event ticket. So that's why the number of people was so big, because I was giving tickets away basically if you bought something else. The ticket was included. Because my strategy, quite frankly, was to show up at the event and fall in love with the mini course idea, because it's really powerful, and then buy my coaching program. It's what I did, you know, roughly what I did in June 2019, in December 2019, and June 2020. And that's the framework I was going with. And so I learned a couple things. Number one, don't do back-to-back promotions. I've been kind of in promotion mode, I feel like, all year. I've had my foot on the gas. I'm launching new stuff. I launched my free Facebook ads course in January. I launched my 1-hour ads ebook in February. And I haven't written them all down, but I launched something else in March and something else in April and then something else in May. And then June was the last live event. And it was just back-to-back-to-back stuff, right? And so that's lesson number one. Let your foot off the gas every now and then. Let your list breathe. Let your tribe breathe. Don't keep offering them new stuff. And then let yourself breathe. Back-to-back promos can kind of wear you out. And that's what I learned, number one. Number two, make sure people want tickets, right? Like, I might as well have been on the street corner handing out tickets to my virtual event, right? Like, the people, a lot of people hadn't asked for them. The ones that asked for them were there. They were grateful. They were like, this is awesome. I'd love to come to this. I'd love to learn this. I'd love to work with you. This would be great. And they really liked it. And the content went off without a hitch. The day was great. And it was all really good. But make sure people want what you're selling them, right? So really important lessons. And that's not even the point of today's podcast. I just wanted to kind of walk you through what happened the last couple of weeks. Well, after my event, we went on a camping trip, which was great. Had a few days to sit in the woods and stare at trees and ponder life's big questions and business's big questions. And to be clear, I wasn't just, you know, down in the dumps and didn't come out of my room for 5 days and just hid under the covers and ate Ben and Jerry's ice cream or whatever, right? I mean, it was kind of like that, but it wasn't that bad, right? But really just kind of took the last couple of weeks off to say, hey, how did I get here? How did I get here where I'm feeling a little tired? I'm feeling a little worn out. I'm feeling like the offers I'm making aren't quite landing with my audience like I want them to. So what am I missing? I'm obviously missing something. How do I do this better? And I just sat and I thought and I sat and I thought and I sat and I thought. I didn't really do anything. I went to the gym, I hung out with my kids, helped out with homeschool, did the chores. We had family come in town and just kind of hanging out the last 2 weeks. Didn't do a whole lot. And then last Thursday night, I was talking to my wife, Christy, and saying, hey, I need something to kind of kick me out of this funk. And I remember kind of saying a prayer, just kind of walking and talking and like, God, give me something to wake me up. I'm just kind of in this funk, right? I haven't done a whole lot. I've been serving existing clients, managing my membership site, managing my coaching students. And my business is set up in a way now, 4 years into it, that it's actually quite a bit of recurring revenue coming in. So I wasn't quite even feeling the pinch of needing to go out and make a bunch of money. I thought October is going to be fine. Whether I get out of this funk or not, I just need to show up for my coaching students and my obligations for people that are counting on me to help grow their business. And on Thursday night, I was just kind of praying, like, God, shake me out of this funk. I need something, right? I need something to wake me up. Now, I personally, my theology doesn't align with God saying, like, cool, got it, watch this, right? And then insert dramatic event in your life, right? But that was Thursday night. Friday morning, I woke up going about my morning routine, and my wife ran into our bedroom and said, the water alarm is going off in our basement. Now, we've had a leak in our water heater before. It was about 2 years ago, and it ruined my office. I'm sure there's a podcast episode about that 2 years ago. It was really, really bad. It was actually right when I started the podcast. I started in April. That happened in September of 2018. And it flooded my office. My home office is in the basement, and it shares a wall with our water heater. And so when the water heater flooded, or leaked actually, it got under the laminate wood flooring in my office that I had just put down like 5 months earlier, and it flooded it. I had to make an insurance claim. I was out of my office for 6 weeks, I think. Cost a bunch of money. Very, very inconvenient. And so when my wife ran to me in the bedroom and said, the water alarm is going off, we put these little water alarms near our water heater in case it leaked again, I ran downstairs. I panicked and I ran downstairs, and we got towels and we got squeegees, and we were working as fast as we could. There was a pretty steady leak. There was already a bunch of water in our mechanical room and a pretty steady leak out of our water heater. And we were pretty sure that it had failed, and an analysis later that day would confirm that that was the case. But as I was squeegeeing and trying to get water away from the shared wall between the water heater and my office, my wife ran into my office and checked. She walked on the wood floors and she heard that heart-wrenching, gut-turning squish beneath her feet, that water had once again gotten under the boards in my office. And I threw the squeegee, and I'm a very mild-mannered guy. I was so frustrated by the hand I had been dealt that morning. Now, again, my theology doesn't align with, nowhere in the Bibles that say, hey, you know, God is now going to magically make my water heater break and flood my office. That's my theology. Whatever you think about it, whatever happened, whatever kind of serendipitous coincidence happened that morning, that got my attention. That got my attention for sure. So I'm on my hands and knees with a squeegee, with towels, calling repair people. I'm looking frantically around my mechanical room, trying to see a phone number, right, of somebody who's been out to service something and left a sticker, left a magnet, left a business card. And I called the biggest phone number I found, and a guy was able to come out. It was an emergency, and he came out. And once the guy came out, the plumber came out to turn off the water heater, stop the leaking. I ran into my office and pried up all of the wood just to see how far the leak had gone. And I'm staring at it right now because there's a big old gaping hole in my floor. It's maybe an eighth of my office, which isn't much. Last time it was way worse. It was like half of my office, maybe more like 2/3. So a little bit less water got in, but it might have been, you know, an ounce of water, but spread out under laminate wood flooring. It just traveled. It's concrete subfloor and then laminate wood flooring. And I was really frustrated. I was very disappointed. I still kind of am. We're still working through it. But here's what I want to talk about. That's a long buildup here. There's two options there. Do you curl up into a ball, like I kind of had been doing the last 2 weeks, or do you bulk up? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what those options are, what those mean. As my wife and I were facing that dramatic turn of events, we could have been just completely freaking out, you know, at each other's throats, yelling at the kids, shut up, there's something crazy happening in the basement, freaking out, yelling at the plumber. I mean, just imagine how bad that could have gone. But it was after I threw the squeegee and lost my temper there, like let it go for like 2 seconds. I thought, well, we got to get more towels. We got to get a bigger squeegee. And I got to start prying up these wood floors to let this dry out. And then over the weekend, we kind of calmly, methodically got the water heater replaced on Friday. It was very expensive, very, very much got my attention. I went on the website, like on Lowe's.com, and thought, oh, water heaters are like $500. And not the one we needed, apparently. The one that we had, I was told by the plumber, was the Maserati of water heaters, is what we had in the past. So as much as I'd like to flex on you that my water heater is probably nicer than yours, it was very, very expensive, thousands and thousands of dollars with install and all the stuff we needed on Friday. So that got our attention for sure. But my wife looked at me and said, hey, we can afford this. Like, we don't need to put this on a payment plan or whatever. We'll just pay it. We've got the money. And that was very comforting. And then I went to Home Depot and thought, I need to go rent a dehumidifier to take the moisture out of the air. And I confidently and calmly did that. It's like $50 a day, rented it for a few days. And then we texted a few friends and said, hey, can anybody that's more handy than I am come fix my wood floors? And at this recording, somebody's going to come by tomorrow, I think. And they're going to bring some tools and we're going to get the floor knocked out and we'll be back in business in no time. And I remember, I think a few years ago, that would have totally wiped me out. Like I lived right when I started my business, I lived in so much fear that something would happen and completely wipe me out. What kept me up at night was that I would have to go hat in hand back to my old employer and beg for my old job back that I didn't really like a whole lot. Wasn't paid very well and didn't feel like I was a key part of the team as much and did not want to have to do that. So that was always my fear that if anything, you know, we hadn't prioritized savings as my nice way of putting it. So when I quit my job, I didn't have any savings. And that's on me. That's on nobody else. Nobody's fault but my own. We just hadn't made it a priority. Didn't have a big safety net. We were very fragile financially and emotionally, new to entrepreneurship, new to being on our own, and didn't know if we had what it took. And so we bulked up. And then kind of, you know, the phrase kind of comes from gym life or working out. If you're a little bit more resilient, have a little more muscle on your bones, you can take a larger impact and not have to curl up into the fetal position, sucking your thumb under your covers, totally freaking out. And I'm so proud of my wife and I in the last couple months. I just want to share this with you that when you have a decision to make, that I hope that you decide to bulk up and say, I'm going to bulk up my savings account or bulk up my resilience or bulk up thicker skin and not be frail and not like I was right when I started my business. I was very frail emotionally, very frail financially, didn't have a lot of savings, didn't have a lot of confidence, wasn't sure I could ever get any leads or sales in the business. And it was not a good place. And now over the years, I realized, well, we got some muscles now. You know, we got some business muscles. We got some financial muscles. We have some know-how and some knowledge and some expertise. We have a better network. I text 6 people, I think, and said, hey, do you know anybody who can fix this? And 4 text back real quickly, like, yeah, I can help, or I know somebody who can, or here's a number of the guy that I would use or whatever. And that was really great. We were able to weather a quick storm of inconvenience fairly emotionlessly, right? I mean, there's the panic of like water spurting out. I was telling my dad, I was like, Dad, it was like in the movie The Patriot, you know, somebody takes like a musket ball to the chest and they're trying to put bandages on it and compression and whatever Hollywood special effects they use, the blood just keeps oozing out. You know, that's kind of what the water heater was like. And I was squeegeeing and on the phone and telling Siri to call somebody and I was doing all this stuff, right? But then we got through it. A few days later, the office hopefully will be back to normal with a few short texts to somebody. And we got the water heater replaced and we're on to the next thing. So that's my hope for you today, that a couple things that you would be able to bulk up your business, bulk up your life, bulk up your savings, bulk up your life experiences, bulk up your network of people that you know. Then when tragedy comes, which it's definitely going to do, 2020 has had its fair share of it so far, no doubt, that you will have the muscles and the strong bones and the resilience and the mental toughness to say, I've got this. I've totally got this. And don't be shaken by it. And don't curl up into a ball and don't do nothing. And I'm probably telling this to myself. You may be thinking, dude, you just said you took 2 weeks off to kind of walk around the woods and stare at trees. That sounds not like bulking up. Possibly, but I was definitely bulking up my mental health and kind of lying in wait, lying in the grass and reloading, thinking, what am I going to do? And I've got a great plan. I can't wait to share with you how it's going to unfold. I cannot wait to reveal this to the world. I've got a ton of clarity and I am awakened by the financial outlay we had to put out last week. And we're very, very excited and optimistic for the future. So a little bit of a longer episode today as I'm watching the timer on my screen. I hope that was useful to you to know what I've been going through in the business, what life has been like, and then the importance of being vulnerable and sharing that not everything is a win. There's occasionally a couple of L's, a couple of losses that get chalked up as well. So hope you have a great day. Hope that inspires you. Maybe it inspires you in a way that you're like, well, my weekend wasn't that bad. Jeez, that's great. That's great. Whatever, however that landed on you, hope you have an awesome week. And I'll see you in the next episode.